If Beijing sent troops to Hong Kong, it's already a symbolic gesture to the whole world that the one country, two system has come to an end.
Beijing may step in to quiet Hong Kong. It's Wednesday, October 9th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the NBA looks to dunk a China controversy. The UN combats statelessness. The business of taxes and e-cigarettes, mind control, and canine kindness. It's all on today's VOA Asia. After a weekend of violent unrest, Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam said Tuesday she would not rule out getting help from mainland China to deal with pro-democracy protests, but that she feels strongly Hong Kong should find the solution ourselves. Lam said she would carefully assess whether to institute more measures under a colonial-era emergency law she invoked last week to criminalize wearing face masks in Hong Kong. Patsy Whitaker-Sawara has the latest from Hong Kong.
Instead of tamping down the demonstrations, the Hong Kong government's ban on face masks has triggered even more protests and violence.
We do the mask because we want to keep our identity. We could get fired, we could lose our jobs. And the people who support police can beat us up if they know who we are.
The pro-democracy protests have continued for nearly 4 months. On Tuesday, Hong Kong's embattled leader Carrie Lam said Hong Kong should find a solution internally, but would not rule out Beijing's help.
If the situation becomes so bad, then no options could be ruled out if we want Hong Kong to at least to have another chance.
Beijing's involvement would trigger an extreme escalation of what is already a heightened crisis in this former British colony, says Eric Lai, a pro-democracy activist.
If Beijing sent troops to Hong Kong, it's already a symbolic gesture to the whole world that the one country, two system has come to an end, and no one can guarantee what will happen, except there may be a Tiananmen crackdown 2.0.
Pro-Beijing legislators did not respond to VOA's request for an interview, but pro-democracy lawmaker Charles Mok accuses the government of triggering even more anger and violence to get moderates to push back against the movement.
My worry is that the government isn't really just trying to solve the problem. They're trying to create more divisiveness because obviously with more disruption, then a lot of citizens are going to become inconvenient.
Months of turmoil have sharpened the focus on the question of what will happen to Hong Kong in 2047 when the one country, two systems arrangement expires. Hong Kong former Solicitor General Daniel Fung says dialogue is key.
One major solution, I think, is to kickstart a constitutional convention because we have plenty of time to talk about the formula, one country, two systems, how it might be improved and how it might work for the future beyond 2047.
Meanwhile, protesters are demanding that the government fulfill their demands, which include full democracy, inquiry into police action. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Hong Kong.
A police spokesman said Tuesday officers had arrested a total of 77 people for violating the mask ban, and Lam said it is too early to say whether the law is effective. Face masks have become common during protests in Hong Kong, even at peaceful marches, as people fear retribution from government officials or that their identities could be shared with mainland China. Many Hong Kong residents also wear face masks to protect against pollution or infection, such as the outbreak of the deadly severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, that struck the city in 2003. These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China objects to U.S. blacklist of Chinese companies. Houston Rockets general manager's tweet controversy simmers on China. Uber of Southeast Asia to get police safety training in Vietnam. Lam wants Hong Kong to resolve protests on its own, won't rule out mainland help. Pakistan's prime minister to discuss economy and Kashmir with Chinese president. You'll find all these stories with expanded coverage and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The National Basketball Association's Houston Rockets gained popularity in China in the early 2000s when the club signed Chinese star Yao Ming. That history threatened to unravel this weekend after the team's general manager tweeted support for pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. The league and team are both distanced themselves from the comments. You heard the story as it developed yesterday on VOA Asia. Today, VOA's Arash Arabasadi further examines the controversy.
This practice in Japan ahead of preseason games featuring the NBA's defending champion Toronto Raptors and the Houston Rockets was supposed to be about basketball.
Yeah, we apologize. We love China. We love, playing there.
That apology mentioned by Rockets guard James Harden referred to a tweet Friday by the team's general manager Daryl Morey. The since-deleted post read, "Fight for freedom. Stand with Hong Kong." Since then, Morey has sent several tweets walking back his comments, but the team owner made it clear. Morey does not speak for the Houston Rockets. The NBA expressed regret that the GM's views deeply offended many Chinese. The sports channel of Chinese state television, CCTV, issued this statement on its Monday newscast.
The general manager of the NBA club Houston Rockets has made improper remarks about Hong Kong. We strongly oppose this and have decided to suspend all cooperation and exchanges involving the broadcast of the club.
The Rockets became popular in China after selecting Chinese star center Yao Ming first overall in the 2002 NBA draft. Basketball is now the top sport in China with half a billion fans. It is the NBA's largest international market.
They show us the most support and love, so we appreciate them as a fan base, and we love everything they're about, and we appreciate the support that they give us individually and as an organization. So. We love you.
Now, following Morey's tweet, sportswear brands and corporate sponsors say they are suspending work with the team. At the heart of the NBA controversy are months of protests in Hong Kong against police brutality and a push for autonomy from China. The pro-democracy demonstration started in March of this year. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia news, published reports say a Chinese state energy company that appears to have pulled out of a natural gas project in Iran had been under pressure to do so because of U.S. sanctions against Tehran. Iran's oil minister announced the departure of China National Petroleum Corporation from the joint venture. You're always up to date with VOA. This is VOA Asia. We enjoy when you have a chance to join us on VOA Asia. Thanks for listening. The UN Refugee Agency warns the battle to stamp out global statelessness is being threatened by growing anti-refugee and migrant sentiment, as well as rising nationalism. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
More than 220,000 people have acquired citizenship since the UN Refugee Agency launched a 10-year global campaign in 2014 to end statelessness. Now, at the midpoint of the campaign, activists welcome the progress that has been made, but note so much more remains to be done. They report at least 4 million people still live without a legal identity, without legal documents to prove who they are. Australian actor and UNHCR Goodwill Ambassador Kate Blanchett says statelessness has a devastating impact on their lives. She says they experience marginalization and exclusion from cradle to grave.
And those of us who have a nationality and have a paper identity, it's often very hard for us to imagine, because we take this for granted, just like breathing, it's hard for us to imagine the degree of invisibility and despair often that stateless people experience.
She says stateless people do not belong anywhere. They are denied an education and medical care. They cannot open a bank account or travel. They cannot get married or even get a death certificate.
It's total invisibility. And the desperate and horrific gift that they often give to their children is that their children too become stateless. So it's a generational problem.
The UNHCR says solutions are urgently needed for millions without citizenship or at risk of becoming stateless around the world. The scale of the problem is particularly overwhelming for the more than 1 million Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh and millions more still living in Myanmar. A recent government decree has put minority populations in India's Assam state at risk of becoming stateless if they cannot prove their citizenship. This, though they have lived in the region for generations. On a better note, the hashtag #IBelong campaign has brought global awareness to the issue and racked up some successes. For example, Madagascar and Sierra Leone have reformed their nationality laws. They now allow mothers as well as fathers to confer citizenship on their children. However, 25 countries continue to make it impossible for mothers to confer this right on their children. This remains one of the leading causes of statelessness globally. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Coming up, paying more, smoking less. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Authorities in Indian-controlled Kashmir will allow tourists back into the region 2 months after ordering them to leave because of security concerns. Tourists, however, are not likely to experience normal life in the disputed region or be able to use mobile internet or cell phones, which remain cut. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for much more. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, Japan's new sales tax and a smoking alternative for China are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Ira Melman.
Japan raised its national sales tax to 10% from 8% during concerns the increase could derail tenuous economic growth over the past several years. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe postponed this hike twice, but said it was unavoidable. Abe said the tax should promote social security system reform that everyone could enjoy with peace of mind. Japanese Finance Minister Taro Aso welcomed the news and said the government has taken ample measures to offset the tax hike's impact. So far, there has been no talk of last-minute shopping like the previous tax hike. At least if there is no such rush, there would be little reactionary decline, but we must pay attention to economic management and make every effort. The increase covers most goods and services, from clothes, electronics, to transportation and medical fees, but the government has sought to soften its impact with tax breaks for home and car purchases. It's also kept the tax for groceries unchanged for low-income households and is providing free preschool education to families. However, Toshihiro Nagahama, chief economist at Daiichi Life Research Institute, said the timing for this tax hike is bad, considering the current economic situation of Japan. Even though the government is taking consumption-leveling steps and adding more social security measures, I think chances are high for Japan's economy to return to deflation following the consumption tax increase. U.S. e-cigarette maker Juul Labs has entered China on e-commerce sites owned by Alibaba Group and JD.com to tap the world's largest market of smokers. Juul has been launching its products in international markets such as South Korea, Indonesia, the Philippines, and recently it raised over $750 million in expanded funding. Two major Chinese online retailers, JD.com and Tmall, published a notice that Juul's official virtual store had opened on September 9th. China, which is the world's largest single market for tobacco consumption with over 300 million smokers, represents a market with both opportunity and risk for the company. China's government has perennially launched anti-smoking campaigns in an effort to improve public health. Earlier this year, it released a draft document suggesting that China's laws regulating e-cigarettes will eventually largely resemble those in Europe. China's tobacco industry, meanwhile, is tightly controlled by the government-run monopoly China Tobacco, which maintains complete oversight on the sale, production, and distribution of tobacco products. Beijing relies on tobacco sales for a sizable percentage of China's overall tax revenue. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
This news break from VOA Asia. France has delivered to India its first Rafale fighter jet from a series of 36 aircraft purchased in a nearly $9 billion deal in 2016. The defense ministers from both nations are also scheduled to hold talks on defense cooperation and security issues in the Indo-Pacific region. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. Now on VOA Asia, a teenager has traced her medical journey through several neurosurgeries by making art from her brain scans. Mike O'Sullivan reports from Los Angeles that 16-year-old Tessa Carlisle is exploring the healing potential of art as she travels her own road to recovery.
Tessa Carlisle shares her artworks with her school chaplain. They're based on brain scans from the neurosurgeries that corrected an aneurysm in her brain. Her medical journey started in April of last year.
I was about to scream, and I felt a very sharp pain in my head, and I remember thinking to myself, this doesn't feel right. And then the last thing I remember is collapsing on the floor and just blacking out and thinking, this isn't real, this isn't real.
There was a second brain surgery in January this year, and for both, months of recovery. She wanted to use her experience in an art project for school.
I decided that I wanted to tell my story and tell it the way I wanted it to be told and show to people that I'm not just a girl who had an aneurysm, I'm a girl who has recovered from something.
This April, she shared her experience with fellow students at the Episcopal School of Los Angeles.
Tessa came to me and she said, I have a story to tell, and I'm ready to tell it. And so we scheduled her, and she got to start that talk by saying, you know, 1 year ago this weekend, this happened to me.
She has also taken part in the school's volunteer program by working with young patients at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, where she received part of her treatment. She's had support from her family.
It's a very tough thing for a parent, but it's not a hard thing to talk about because the relief of having Tessa back with us is so great, and to watch her go through this whole procedure and emerge on the other side was very tough, but very, you know, incredibly rewarding and a fantastic thing at the end.
Aneurysms are rare in teenagers, and they're dangerous unless treated right away.
The family itself takes on a huge burden in trying to care for the child and care for themselves psychologically. It's really a tough thing. And the fact that, you know, Tessa and her family came through this so strong, it's a testament to them.
The family has used the experience to reach out. Tessa through her artwork and her mom, Clarissa, helping raise funds for a medical center by running a marathon.
They really have funneled all of that, those emotions and things that really could have set them back, I think, and instead have made a positive impact on other people's lives.
Tessa hopes to find a career in the field of art therapy to help others discover the healing power of art as she has. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
From brain scan art to brain-controlled movement, a fall paralyzed a man from his shoulders down, but inside a robotic skeleton, his brain puts his body back in motion. Scientists say this one success is far from a magic pill for those living with paralysis, but say it is an important step. VOA's Arash Arabasadi moves the details.
This man's life changed when he was 28 years old. A fall paralyzed him from the shoulders down. Now, his life has again changed with the help of a robotic exoskeleton.
Since the 1950s, people have been promising to make paralyzed people walk. It's really one of the goals of medical science.
Dr. Tom Shakespeare is a professor of disability at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Shakespeare, himself a paraplegic, offered details of the study published in the Lancet Neurology Journal.
Implants at either side of the skull were able to detect and translate into, as it were, computer movement, impulses of the brain, so that the individual wished to move and signals were sent enabling them to move.
Shakespeare says controlling the machine through thought instead of, say, pushing a joystick on a wheelchair is a scientific breakthrough.
It's never been done from the brain controlling all four limbs. So that's exciting for this domain of research. This is the brain thinking, I wish to reach out for that item.
He says that even though brain waves move a machine instead of the person's own body, the technology is still cost prohibitive.
You know, this wheelchair that I sit in, designed for me, costs £2,000. And what we need to do is to make this sort of technology, which transforms lives, available to more people in the developing world.
Shakespeare says the technology of this exoskeleton still has a long way to go before it can surpass even the voice commands of modern appliances. Arash Arbasadi, VOA News, Washington.
Hawaiian Shirt Day, donuts, cake, perhaps even some pizza. Well, there are a lot of ways to try to raise morale in the office. But Maxim Moskalkov visited some very special workplaces. That's where workers know the best morale boost comes on four legs.
Rob Boyce works at Carfax, a company located in Centerville, Virginia. But he never shows up at his work desk alone. His dog Hazel is always there by his side.
Hazel loves being with people. So I would be heartbroken if I left her home alone all day long, so I'd much rather have her here, and there's lots of other dogs.
Boyce is not an exception. Any Carfax employee here in Centerville can bring his or her four-legged friend to work.
Our president, Dick Raines, he brought his dog in one day, and people loved it, and he saw everyone's reaction, and he said, well, why don't we have everyone do this? Definitely the spirit of the office has risen when you have dogs here. One of our core values is make work fun. And I don't know what is more fun than having dogs at work.
Corgis and poodles, Labradors and Staffordshire Terriers. The work environment here is truly all-inclusive as over 50 employees take advantage of the pet-friendly policy.
He likes chewing on everything. And I bring him here because I don't like leaving him alone at home. And so ever since I started working here, I was like, well, it's a dog-friendly place, so cool.
Experts say communicating with animals helps people reduce stress levels and increases productivity. What's more, employees don't spend time worrying about their pets. Office dogs also help bring co-workers together and lighten the mood.
I started bringing my dog because she actually had a lot of anxiety in the beginning. So bringing her actually helped like socialize, get better with people and her surroundings because we rescued her.
Pet-friendly companies appeared in the U.S. some 20 years ago, but it took some time for big corporations to adapt the policy and see it as an effective way to lure in professionals and create a light yet productive atmosphere at work. Today, about 20% of all U.S. companies are pet-friendly, among Google, Amazon, and Ben & Jerry's.
Before I got them, they weren't really handled very nicely or gently, and to socialize these animals would have been near impossible to leave them at home. So I can bring him here, and we've got all of our dog buddies to hang out with. It's fantastic. Okay.
Carfax mostly sees dogs, but the managers say their doors are open to all pets.
One, two.
Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Centerville, Virginia.
Just don't forget to take them out for a walk once in a while. Time for us to go for a walk. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online at iTunes and SoundCloud. We're also now on some new places for us anyway, YouTube and VOA Asia Twitter. We invite you to check us out on those social media platforms. You can also hear us on the radio. Chiang Mai University, Radio FM 100 at Chiang Mai University in Thailand carries our program. Good morning and hello to everyone who is listening today there. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer, Cedric Franklin, our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and our interns, Hyung and Afra. I'm Jim Stevenson. Have a great day.